Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Welcome to the Dog Pod. It's week 8, fresh off of our road show down to the desert. BT and Law Dog here. Return back to the garage. Big 51-27 win over Arizona. But it's Oregon week, guys. How you feeling, bud?
Tanned, rested, ready to go.
We'll quickly recap the win over Arizona, cover what we learned, and then move on to week 8 against the Ducks. Law Dog, a beautiful sunny night in Tucson. We brought 75 plus to the game. I had a great pregame tailgate. Wildcat Radio crewman, shout out.
And 12-pack radio. Yeah, those guys, they hooked us up big time. And, you know, the police didn't give us too hard a time when we really started to overflow from our tailgate area. But, BT, kudos to you on those Mexican hot dogs.
Oh, the Huero Canelo?
Those were good.
Those were good. I think I had seconds. I told everyone one hot dog each and then promptly went back for seconds myself. But everyone was cool as hell, man. I had a great time down there, and kind of shout out, I would say to Zona Nation. Like, everyone was great. You talked to a lot of people in the stands. It's always nice to make the experience like that. But, guys. The
girls didn't hurt either.
Girls did not hurt. I don't think they sell a full shirt.
I've never seen one down
I think
there.
This
was my first weekend, so you got to cut me a break, but I didn't see anyone in sleeves or any kind of long
It's like
anything.
All tube tops, and they just don't sell the whole thing.
It was pretty minimal.
That's fair. I think they ship the rest of that fabric up here, and it's all turtlenecks. That's how it goes. It's a rough life down there. All right, guys, so give me the cliff notes on that game, buddy. We're going to get into this. We're going to get through this game real quick and then get right into Duck Week.
This was the rise of the Desert Dogs, BT. This one started quickly. First series, Joe Tryon grabbing a sack and then forcing Arizona to punt. Levi Onwuzurike busting through the line blocking that punt. Huskies are in business at the Arizona 36, but they couldn't get a 4th-and-1 and had to turn it over on downs. So they got nothing out of it. Arizona punts it back, though, and a lot of pressure coming on that defensive front from the Dogs, but they just didn't want to block one. They wanted to keep going. Anyway, Sean McGrew rips off a 44-yarder. That one actually led to a field goal, 3-0 Washington, but it really should have been more at this point. Then teams create a couple more punts. 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Joel Whitford uncorks a 39-yarder. Nothing remarkable about it, but Thomas Reed tries to get out of trouble in the coverage. Costs up the ball. Huskies again have to settle for a field goal, though. The red zone problems are kind of continuing, 6-0. Then it's Aaron Fuller's turn to muff a punt. Arizona gets a field goal back, so it's 6-3. Then on 3rd-and-5 from the Arizona 25, Arizona with the ball. Khalil Tate really did not play his best game in this one, but he tries to flip some kind of an underhanded pass or something with the Husky defender in his face. That one just looked weird. It happened right in front where we were sitting. Coughs up a fumble. Brandon Wellington picks up, runs it in for the touchdown, and it's 13-3 Washington. Husky defense really starts to bend a little bit in the second quarter here. They give up 2 long touchdown drives to Arizona in the second quarter, 1 on a long pass to Jamari Joyner, and another one on a short run for J.J. Taylor. So Arizona's leading 17-13. And then let's not forget, with 1 minute left on the clock here, the Huskies actually kneel on it and just go into the locker room down by 4. I mean, that was just like deflating it. And then it was this very moment, right, that we found each other, BT, your intrepid hosts, huddled in the stands and just said, oh my God, this is a Stanford all over again, lamenting the decline of the offense of this football team.
Let's see what you got at halftime.
But
let's see what they got, right?
The difference a halftime speech makes, right? Jacob Eason tells the media afterwards that he actually rose and gave a little speech at halftime, get this offense on track. So then he comes right out of the gate. Puka Nacua on the first play of the Huskies' first drive on a little 28-yard fade down the sideline. There he is, Puka Nacua. Then Eason finishes off the drive with Jack Westover, actually puts the Huskies in lead 20-17. Teams trade punts again. And then with 7 minutes left in the third, Miles Bryant knocks the loose ball out of Joyner's hands. Huskies punch it in with Ahmed, and they're up 27-17, starting to look real good here. Then Arizona grabs a field goal to cut it to 27-20. And then this is when the aerial show really got started, right? First, Eason airs one out to Jordan Chin for a 39-yard.
First catch of the year, right?
I mean, of his career. Right? Or did he have one before that?
He's had one before. Yeah, but that's okay, the first one of the season.
He's a guy who's always made plays in the spring. He just has trouble getting onto the field, cracking the depth chart. But he made a huge play in Tucson on Saturday. Then Eason follows it up with a 22-yarder Aaron Fuller. It's 34-20 Huskies. Still 13 minutes left. And then this is where I really thought, hey, the Huskies get a 3-and-out. Arizona went 3-and-out 3 times in the second half and then had 2 turnovers in the first 4 plays of each of those 5 drives. So 5 drives where the Huskies just completely defensively just neutralized Arizona. 12 minutes left. The Huskies are leading by 2 touchdowns. I really thought this is where they're going to just run out the clock, right? Good thing the law dog isn't a coordinator, because it was time to free Puka.
Libre Puka.
Third and six. Lobs another long fade route to Puka. This time he went up and muscled his way to the ball. 49 yards. Probably the last 10 or 15 with a man just hanging
on fighting guys off.
Yeah, reminiscent of Reggie Williams, right? Then Huskies finish off with another Ahmed touchdown. It's 41-20. Ryan Bowman, your Pac-12 defensive lineman of the week, gets another interception. Huskies grab a field goal, 44-20. And then, Huskies... Arizona marches right back with a touchdown and garbage time. It's 44-27. Huskies recover the onside kick, run it into the end zone, and basically, yeah, it was over. 51-27. This was a big celebration, BT. A nice win in the desert for once.
Oh, it was so great. They came together. Tons of Husky fans there. I would say, the Zona fans emptied out a little early. I think it was a late game for sure, but got a little bit quiet in the second half. Everyone's cool. They served beer at the stadium. Kind of cool, but I think that's where everything is going. Like, everything's going no ins and outs, and then they'll serve beer. I also want to say, we didn't finish. This is shame on us and shame on the whole crew, including Wildcat Radio. We did not finish. We did not finish the 300 beers that I brought down, nor the 3/5 that were supposed to go into the EG's Slurpees.
Well, we're good frat guys, BT. We know you always better to always have too much than two.
That's right. That's right. And so we gifted, all of this leftover, and I took a cooler of, cooler full. I thought, hey, for the ride home on the bus. And so we decided to stash this next to the stadium in a freshman dorm. Right outside a freshman dorm. We think we have a great hiding spot. And like kids in a candy shop, we run out after the game to find it.
Long gone.
Long gone. But to whoever in the freshman dorm there at Arizona found that and thought Santa Claus came early.
We'll trade you for the win.
We hope you enjoyed that. So let's talk about the D, man. I thought the D played really well in the first 22 minutes and the full second half. They played amazing.
It was just that one, but gap.
It's like
in
six,
the
minutes,
quarter, yeah.
6 minutes. 6 minutes. Like a period in the second half where like all of a sudden Nathan Tilford. Like, their third-string running back is gashing him. J.J. Taylor's gashing him. A few nice little throws by Khalil Tate. But look, overall, man, think about this. Zona was averaging 509 yards a game coming into this. Number one in the Pac-12. We hold Tate to negative 29 rushing. Negative 29.
And the D was in his face.
In his face the whole game,
day.
Man.
I mean, that to me was like, okay, we are in control of this one.
Unreal. Like, unreal. And so, look, they pick up 219 yards receiving, but every single statistical category below their average. Joe Tryon, man. Just legit. Absolute wrecking crew. Nice sack on him. Ryan Bowman. How about a sack, a pick, Pac-12 lineman of the week.
Awesome.
Bowman looks so great, man. First time we've seen Ariel Nagata. On the inside, so taking over. Yeah. Maybe they're seeing that he's a little better than Kyler Manu there. I don't know. Asa Turner, I thought, was just amazing. The safety. Great
and
force.
And Nagata led the team in tackles, too.
He did great. Great force fumble by Miles Bryant, man. Always on the ball, man. Just great. So very pleased all up with how the defense played. Obviously, much bigger challenge coming in. But again, this statistically... like the number one from a yardage perspective, the number one team in the Pac-12, and we were able to shut them
out. Look, I like to see a team do what they're supposed to do. We were supposed to take care of business against a team that's weaker on both lines than we are. And so we did that. We ran the ball at will, and we were able to get in Tate's face all day on the defensive side. So I think this is great. Now, offensively, taking a look at things, I mean, McGrew running for 106 yards on just 13 carries. Ahmed tacked on another 95 yards and 3 touchdowns. So they really ran and stayed committed to the run in this game.
Chico's nice on the sweep. I really wish we had Rich on that 4th and 2. We want Richard Newton back there.
Yeah, that's what we needed. And you could tell that's why they kind of came into this season with that mindset with Richard Newton, because he gives you kind of a little bit
hammer.
Different. Yeah. But, I mean, this was really, offensively, this was free Puka. I mean, we've been asking for some new blood at receiver or just in this passing game. And it's nice to see Eason come out of the gates after halftime and said, you know what? I'm going to throw it up to you, pal. So just go up and get it. And, three catches, 97 yards. Yeah, he did have that drop. But Fuller was effective, 60 yards on 4 catches. Bryant had 45 yards. And even, Jordan Chin, Jack Westover getting in there. So
first TD for Jack Westover was great.
Great to see that. And spreading it around. And just that's the passing game that we thought we were going to get going into this season, was throwing it up down the field a little bit more. And for whatever reason, they have been reticent to do that. I don't know if it's been Eason and his mindset. I don't want to turn it over. Or if it's the coaches who are putting the governors on him.
Their teams aren't giving it to him. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever it is. But, I mean, they just have not really had an opportunity to air it out or haven't taken that opportunity. And it was nice to see in this game.
Oh, that was great. I mean, should we get into special teams?
Yeah.
All right, a little bit. So, Peyton Perfection Henry, again, 3-for-3. 27 yards. He leads the nation. I don't know if you see this, but like, look at statistical leaders. He is the nation's leading kicker, which is great.
And he has, you know, we've seen his range a little bit this year. So you're starting to get a lot more confidence there.
It's been great. Whitford, man, not only great, he crushed that 67-yarder.
Kind of really needed it, too. The game was still in the balance. That was a big one.
We already talked about this, but great block punt by Levi that Kyler Gordon falls on. Great coverage, too, man. I thought it was really nice to see. The only downside is Aaron Fuller muffing that punt. I get it. Maybe his concentration slipping a little bit given that point in the game. It cannot happen against Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon's got very good special teams other than the place kicking. We'll get to that a little bit, but they have been controlling field position quite well this season. So that's something that we really need to bring our A game on Saturday.
So again, nothing to scoff about. This is a team that was 5-1 that had first place in the Pac-12 South. Great win, great road win in the desert where we've struggled a bit. But let's get past it. This week, buddy.
I mean, this is it's the Super Bowl. Ooh, Super Bowl Saturday on Montlake.
It is, man. This is it. The Uncivil War. UW and that team from Eugene, one of the ugliest rivalries in all of college football. The stakes couldn't be higher this time. Before we get into this 2019 iteration of this, Professor Lawdog, take us down memory lane.
Well, I love getting a history assignment, BT, and you said, let's talk about the rivalry today. And I said, oh, you know me. Yeah, I will dig right into the history books. Here we go. But, you know, we want to give some ammo to our listeners so they could talk trash on Twitter. You know, Oregon fans famously suffer from that long-term memory loss. It's actually kind of a serious affliction. It's called being ducked up.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, okay. It's a medical term. You just don't remember college football existing before 1994. So we're going to refresh their memory and how things used to be around here. So this is actually the 112th meeting of what many call the Uncivil War. First one was held in 1900. This rivalry is actually known quite a bit more for what happens off the field, actually, than on it. And so this animosity goes back really a long way, longer than I thought. So let's look at it through phases, right? 1900 to 1942, teams are actually dead even at 16-16-4.
Okay.
But many say that first inflection point in this rivalry is 1948, the old PCC. Oregon and Cal actually tied for the top of the conference, and they decided to vote. Who would go to the Rose Bowl? Who do you think the Dogs voted for? They voted for Cal, but not only that, they also persuaded Montana to do it. And the Oregon fans, who are that old, my dad's age or older, have never forgiven. They sent the Golden Bears to the Rose Bowl.
Oh,
burn.
That's great. Burn. Take it. Look how quick Montana folded.
Yeah, Montana was gone pretty quickly. but this is right when the rivalry started to get actually very one-sided. So the Huskies, you know, the rise of those early 60s Huskies, and they actually won 15 out of the 18 between 1942 and 1960. But then Oregon kind of experienced a surge in the early 60s there too, and they split the next 13 games 6-6-1. So you kind of go from these heavy one-sided phases to these evenly matched decades or so. So during this period, 1962, Huskies are looking to defend a Pac-10 title. Ducks tied the game late in Husky Stadium 21-21. On the final play of the game, Oregon throws up a Hail Mary for the end zone. Husky fans were streaming on the field already, blocking the Oregon receiver from catching the ball. Again, this is another one where the fans just never forget these old things. So this is another inflection point. 1973, Ducks come in and crush the Huskies 58-0 in Eugene. Then the next year, 1974, back at Seattle, Huskies won 66-0. So this is each team's largest margin of victory in this series were just those back-to-back seasons. But that 1974 game, that was another turning point. So this is where the Huskies really entered their period of dominance again. 1974 to 1993, the Huskies were 17-3 against the Ducks.
Yeah.
So these older Ducks, you got to remember, the guys that you see around town, the older guys, this is the part they remember. This is why they hate the Huskies. That 1970s and 80s and early 90s, they never used to win this game. So the younger Ducks don't really get it. But then we know everything changed forever in 1994. Damon Heward, leading a comeback down the field in Outset Stadium, throws it out to the sideline on the Oregon 10-yard line. BT, why is he throwing
the backfield
off his back foot? Wheaton picks it off. Rest is history. However, that didn't actually win them the game. It only just iced it. But anyway, they play it every game at Outset Stadium. They were playing it last season when I was down there. So, but after this, Oregon made the Rose Bowl in 94, And this is when Phil Knight started to get interested in Oregon football.
I've got all this money.
It was a real turning point for Oregon football. So this is why they like to pretend that it never existed before then. So then, 1995, you remember Jim Lambright openly lobbying for the Huskies to go to the Cotton Bowl. It got pretty personal. Coaches were really talking about each other in the press. Again, more of this off-the-field stuff really driving the rivalry. Then Oregon goes to the Cotton Bowl and plays Rick Neuheisel's Colorado Buffaloes. What does he do? He goes for a fake punt when they're up by 4 touchdowns in that game. And then Mike Bellotti reports Neuheisel the NCAA for recruiting during a dead period.
Amazing.
So this was a hot period of the rivalry. Oregon went 5-4, but this was really when it was the hottest. It's kind of the early mid-90s and into the early 2000s. So then 2002, Huskies needing a win to avoid a losing season. They stomp the Ducks 42-10 in Autzen, and then they dance. You know that big zero they have at midfield in Autzen Stadium? Yep. They dance all over it. I don't need to tell you what happens after this, BT. I want to take a snapshot right here. All the Husky fans, I want you to know, the Oregon fans who have that lousy memory, dancing on the zero that night in 2002, Washington Huskies were 58-33 in this game with 5 ties. So anyone who's older than about 20 years old at that moment knows that this was a very one-sided rivalry. So obviously the next 12 games, I never would have thought we wouldn't beat them in 12 more years, but that's what happened. The Law Dog personally attended 8 of those games, BT. So in 2016, I had to be there to watch it end. Huskies won at 70-21 in 2016. Woo! And now we've kind of turned a new page on this rivalry.
That's
won 38-3 in 2017. And then now Oregon kind of narrowly winning on the missed field goal last season. So the Huskies are 2-1 in the last 3. Maybe we can win one this Saturday and start a new streak, BT.
Oh, man. I mean, so much that we need. I mean, this would be really winning 3 of 4. And again, where Oregon should be favored. This is it this year, Saturday, 12:30 on ABC. Number 12, 5-1 Oregon with their only loss coming to Auburn at 25. Number 25, 5-2 Washington. Oregon opened as about a 4-point favorite. That line's dropped to 2.5, surprisingly for me, man. The over under 50.5. So Vegas wants this thing like 26, 27, or 24. Oregon, man, that only Auburn loss, they control their own destiny in the Pac-12, right? UW most would have to win this and even win out and hope for an Oregon loss somewhere at home, but to like Wazoo, Zona, Oregon State, at SC, or at Arizona State. We have a couple of common opponents.
Stanford,
I mean, and Cal.
Burns and Cal.
Stanford and Cal, right?
Oregon won them both.
Look, even though it's a home game, I understand. I understand why Vegas has got him favored, man. So let's talk a little bit about this. Should I get into some of the defense, man? What do we think about the defense against Herbert?
I mean, this is a big matchup for them.
Okay, so here we go, man. This 2019 incarnation of Death Row D, how are we going to slow down Mario Cristobal's pistol offense? If you look at this offense, they run this kind of hybrid pistol that they say comes from the Jim Mastro had at Nevada with some little power run game that Cristobal is bringing from the SEC. The pass game, let's get into this. It's pretty interesting. So they lose Jacob Breland, their number one receiving weapon by far. They're going to have to rely on Jalen Redd, Johnny Johnson, Micah Pittman, who's back from injury. But boy, man, Herbert, he's no joke. 17 touchdowns and 1 pick. The average is 284 in the air. So look, they have that passing game. What I'm more concerned about with this is we have had weaknesses against the run.
Mm-hmm.
We've made Cameron Scarlett look really good, and they're going to try to pound it. Watch out for CJ Verdell, buddy, 7th in the pack. Travis Dye, he averages 6 yards a carry. When he does get him, he makes a lot out of him. Behind, again, the most experienced offensive line in the country. How are our guys going to step up? What's Levi going to do, right? Our guy's going to be able to step up and put some pressure on this offensive line, fill the gaps, slow down the run, and make Herbert pass into our secondary. A couple of other notes I want to say on this. They're very weak in the red zone. We complain about a lot. They're 11th in the Pac-12 with 33 trips into the red zone.
Yeah.
One thing that's pretty surprising, very disciplined from a penalties perspective, 35 penalties. One of the lowest. Yeah. So, look, they're very disciplined on the offensive side. Look, I think it's going to be all, as much as there's talk about this heavyweight matchup between quarterbacks, you know, playing for really draft position, this is going to be a matchup on when we're on defense against our ability to stop the run and make them one-sided. And I hope our boys can do it.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. And, Cristobal, this is an identity game for him. It was last season. I mean, we came back at least I came back from Eugene last year, and I was in the car driving home just thinking, man, those fourth and ones, they got a couple big ones last year down in Autzen, and that's the type of thing where we're in a fourth and one this year. We have got to get a stop, and you know, with our defensive line, they haven't stepped up in that way against a quality offensive line yet this season, so that's something we need to see. Taking a look on the offensive side of the ball for UW, I mean, this is clearly a tough matchup. I mean, Mace Funa, Kayvon Thibodeau, their freshman linemen on the defensive side, both of those guys are first and second in sacks. This isn't a huge, like, quarterback sacks team, but they're just solid kind of in all phases. They got that All-American caliber linebacker, Troy Dye. They got Javon Holland, who's going to be an NFL draft pick at safety. Yeah. So they've got it kind of – there's not a huge area of weakness on the field. Huskies, what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to throw it in tight windows. Easton's going to have to throw with some anticipation. They're going to need to lean on the run, but then also stick with the run. But they're also going to need to spread the field. You know, Oregon's only given up 16 points in three Pac-12 games. Obviously, that wasn't like the cream of the crop. Cal had their quarterback out during that game. We all know what KJ Costello has looked like this year. So, I mean, they haven't been playing.
Garber's out of Cal. But
yeah,
two teams that still beat us, though.
Well, yeah. And I will say, Garber's had a great game against UW. Didn't even play in that.
That's right.
Oregon was trailing in that game going in the fourth quarter. So, I think that was a close one. Against Auburn, though, they gave up 27 points, including that late collapse kind of against a true freshman. So, I mean, these guys are not invincible. That's the key thing to remember. But this is going to take the best performance of the Washington offense this season. And frankly, BT, we just basically have one half against Arizona and then maybe a game against BYU to be excited about.
Yeah, and you know, let's think about the USC game, and really, I think it wasn't even the full half against Arizona, just those 6 minutes. You know, and the other thing I would say about our defense stopping their offense is, you know, how weak Herbert's road record is.
Just 6-9 on the road,
six
right?
6-9 on the road, and it is going to be so loud.
Yeah,
12:30 game.
And last time they were down, I mean, let's be clear, we spanked them. Herbert's freshman year, we spanked them. You know, Herbert's looking at 1-3 against Washington if he can't get out of there on Saturday. So, you know, we've had our success against these Ducks, but this is kind of a better iteration of these guys. They've got a good combination of experience with talented freshmen who are coming in. And really, I mean, the fans are jacked. This is going to be the most hostile, toughest crowd that Oregon's going to have played this season, and the Husky fans are going to need to bring it.
Yeah, they're going to have to. And look, let's be real. This isn't like 2016, 2017. This is a good iteration of this Ducks team that's coming to town. We have to be ready for them. Talk about special teams, man. For the Dogs, man, I'd love to see another run back from Fuller. How about one more of those? Come on. A block by Levi on Wuzurika. We saw it last week. Look, I'm sure Peyton wants redemption.
Yeah.
Peyton Harris got to want it. If it comes down to him, I love it. You know, in the end of the day, like, for the most part, guys just play mistake-free, right? Just play mistake-free.
Don't give up those
14 field goals, 29-29 extra points. He leads the FBS. Now, look at the Oregon side. Punter's solid. Blake Mamone averages 45 yards. Punt, same as Joel, really. They've used Camden Lewis, Adam Stack. You know, shaky, though, Camden Lewis has, you know, he's two made field goals on five attempts, right? So, I'm on that side, really, I mean, for field goals, your kicking game is pretty weak.
No, and his struggle to a fourth down and medium.
I like that.
Yeah, we should be able to get off the field in a lot of those situations.
On kick returns, they mostly use Travis Dye, who we know is a weapon, 21 yards average, long of 28. But you know, he's really dangerous. He's going to rip one off at some point this year. Safety Javon Holland for punt returns, man, he is real dangerous as well. Averages 21.7. We broke one for 81 yards this year already.
Is that, see? And you look at Oregon's schedule. I mean, I don't want to give them too much credit. Like, obviously, they're a great team, but you know, they beat Nevada 77-6, Montana 35-3. I mean, some of these games, you know, they've really padded their stats. Their offense has not been, you know, incredible in those conference games. 17 points against Cal, 21 against Stanford. So this is not an invincible team. And you're right, field position is key. Just contain, and then just keep leaning on them.
And just keep it loud in that stadium, guys, the whole day. We need it, man. This is going to be a big one. Let's get some Husky, happy Husky faces after this game.
And one more thing, BT. This is really, I mean, this is for the North.
Yeah. This is,
whether we win it or not, it doesn't matter. Win the North or not, it doesn't matter. Winning this game, though, we tell them the road to the North comes
through
Seattle. It goes through us. You cannot just chalk a win up on your schedule in July when you're looking at Washington coming down your tailpipe, okay? We have to send a message to these guys. You know, maybe we made too many mistakes to win the division this year.
That's fine.
You know, whatever it is. I just want them to know they cannot hold this over us. They had a long winning streak where they held it over us for a long, long time. This is our turn now. With our programs up and running, we have the advantage of coach. Our coach, I give him all day over
no
Mario
question.
Cristobal. We have to show them who is the boss in the North. And whether we end up in the championship game or not, it doesn't matter. As long as we can tell the Ducks, we beat you.
That's right. 3 out of 4.
And if you lose this game, I mean, the season is essentially over. I mean, you're playing for the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yeah, you're playing for the Cheez-It Bowl at that point. That's right.
So, I mean, there's plenty to be fired up about. There's plenty to be motivated about. Let's just get out there and give it everything we've got. Open up the playbook. Let Jacob Eason throw the ball down the field and just give it everything you got.
Give me that second half of the Arizona game. Let's do it. All right, should we get into the rest of the Pac-12?
Sure.
All right, it's going to happen. So, again, last Friday night we saw Oregon's tune-up at home, 45, Colorado 3. Herbert's 34th game with a touchdown pass, man.
Yeah, and, I mean, they definitely looked the part. This was a good warm-up game for them. Chenault was healthy. I mean, they got Colorado, so that was the real Colorado out there. They also got an extra night to prepare for us when we were flying in back at 2 a.m.
So. Could be worse. We had last year. We had 2 weeks off. But, okay, the Saturday games, though, we started off early, 12:30 in the scorching heat. Wazoo. Bunch of Wazoo fans on my flight on the way down to Phoenix, man.
Too.
All over the place. They were super cool, though. All the ones that I talked to were fine. 34-38 loss at Arizona State, man. Wazoo was up 17-7 in the first half, 31-24 in the second, but they could not hold on.
So I was at a bar called Frog and Firkin in Tucson, and watching this one with some Arizona fans. And as soon as Cougs took the lead to win, a couple of Arizona fans offered us some pizza because they're like, "Hey, you're rooting against ASU? Us too."
That's right.
Have some of our pizza.
That's awesome. Yeah. The one thing I forgot, and that was how I made friends. You make friends down in Arizona. They're not big fans of those guys. Look, Cougs, man, tough year. Holy smokes, tough year for these guys.
They're rebuilding for sure.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's a Cougat per se, but blowing a lead again on the road. Next one could have helped out the Pac-12 a lot, but it was for naught. USC loses 27-30 to Notre Dame. SC scored first on a field goal, but they couldn't catch up, man. 27-30 is as close as they would get. I don't know how much of this game you watched. I didn't see much of it.
Yeah, I didn't either. But, you know, we talked about USC, the gauntlet schedule. It ended with Notre Dame, and they made it out 3-3. I think that's probably about what we would have expected. It kind of didn't really seem like it was. That's how it was going to play out. But, you know, Clay Helton fighting for a job, and now they're looking for a new athletic director, which is just – it just cements it. He is not going to be there next season.
They're just – it's such a complete and total mess. Let's get into the next one, buddy. This one, the night game. They looked the part. Number 15, Utah, very complete. Win against Oregon State, 52-7 at home. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I mean, they went into Corvallis and really put it on him here. It wasn't even really a Tyler Huntley game. I mean, he just threw for 247 yards, but they just, you know, they
it
were
was
all
accurate, though.
Yeah, and they were just all over the place. I mean, Utah, you know, showing why they're the favorites. How about Zach Moss? 5 carries, 121 yards.
Oh, jeez. I just didn't need him. I mean, this is a Utah team that is looking incredibly strong coming down the home stretch. I think what people thought that were going to be preseason. All right, so should we talk a little bit about this week? Live feed just wrapping up this evening as we record. It was 1-5 UCLA coming into it against 3-3 Stanford. Stanford was favored by 7, but no. 34-16 UCLA.
I'm just kicking myself. I wanted to take the Bruins. I just showed BT the text. I was feeling the Bruins on this one, but you know you can't get it anymore. UCLA takes care of business and beat Stanford for the first time in over a decade.
Crazy. All right, and Saturday slate starts really early, man. 11:30 a.m. on Pac-12 Network. It's 2-4 Oregon State at 4-2 Cal. Cal favored by 10.5 at home. What do you think?
You know, I actually kind of like Cal, even covering 10.5. That's kind of a lot, but I just feel like their D is going to be the thing that's going to neutralize Oregon State in this game. So give me the Bears.
Big one at Rice-Eccles. This one is huge, man. You talk about the two big games of the day. Obviously, there's ours, and the next one is 5-1, number 17, Arizona State at 5-1, number 13, Utah, 3 p.m. Pac-12 Network. Utah favored by 13.5.
I saw that. I am all on the Devils. I think they are a team that's they're kind of a grinding team.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really go away. McDaniels can make plays. I mean, yeah, of course, we all got knocked out of the Survivor pool when they lost to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this is a team that they're plucky, and 13.5 is a lot, even on the road. But Utah's looking so good after that win. I think that the money's a little hot after them right now, and I would go with the Sun Devils here.
Yeah, it's a Utah to win, Arizona State to cover. But really, I mean, the winner of that game is in the driver's seat in the South at this point. Next two teams looking for a win, 4 p.m. on ESPNU. It's 3-3 Colorado at 3-3 Wazoo. Cougs favored at home by 13.
I mean, just if there's any option where I don't have to watch this or see it in any way, then that'd be great.
Yeah, you know, try getting ESPNU. So, I mean, that's the good news, is that very few people will have to watch this game, but somebody needs to get a win on this one. The late one, this is actually pretty interesting as well. 6:30 on Pac-12 Network. It's 4-2 Zona at 3-3 USC. Trojans favored by 9.5.
Yeah, I think SC, I like them to win this game. And frankly, I mean, I'll take them to cover it. And I'm not real down on Arizona just because we just beat them. I think actually that they have a decent team. But I also think that after watching them up front on both sides of the ball, I just think this is a game where SC really should take care of business. They got men on the lines, and that's not what I saw in Tucson.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting if you think of the teams that are still in the mix in the South, though. I mean, SC, I guess, has an outside chance looking in. I mean, maybe even Arizona just tags on one loss, and so there's a big bunch at the top of the standings
They're 2-1 in the South. So is ASU, so is Utah. So
that's
this
right.
will be separation Saturday a little bit with two of those teams popping up and two of them popping down.
That's right. It's going to be crazy, but guys, all eyes in Husky Nation are on one place, Husky Stadium, 12:30 on Saturday on ABC. If you're going to be down there, fans, I want you loud as can be on third down. The only thing I'd say from the fans, if you're out in the muck, don't get drugged down in the muck by those Oregon fans. If they come on and get nasty, let them be nasty. Just show them how loud we are and support that team.
I've had my moments, BT, that I'm not proud of, I will say, in Autzen Stadium and beyond. But I will say, you know what? Just tune them out, ignore them, kick their ass on the field. Then when you see them after the game, it'll be that much sweeter.
That's right. Let's get it done, dogs. Go dogs, man. Big win this weekend. Yes. I want to see it. Let's make it happen.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep. Washington State University.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Is Arizona State a football team?
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.